Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. You know this is a great day of the week. It's that time when we connect with you, and hopefully you connect with us. And I've brought along one of my special friends.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Yes.
I hope you were Richard. Talking about me. You got somebody else out there I don't know about?
Yeah, I got somebody else here, but you'll do since you're right here. Well, for those of you who are familiar with our show, you know that we bring forth people from the other side who have a message, and can you believe this? You are able to talk to them, ask them questions, and we'll relay their information back to you. I tell you, it's a wonderful process. And for those of you who would like to be able to do this kind of work, there's information on our website, which is, what's that website called, Richard?
It's called Right Brain Magic, and it's rightbrainmagic.com is the website.
You might want to be able to do this, and you can get more information there. We have had people in the past request Princess Diana, and we have finally decided to connect with her and bring her on the show. And for all of you who have loved her, this is your opportunity to not only hear a message from her, but to ask your questions of her. Is that cool or what? So, what I would suggest, when Richard is connecting with her, put your consciousness in your third eye and also in the heart center. And as Richard discusses her energy, you might be able to feel it also. It's a wondrous thing. So, Richard, you're up next, dear.
Oh, okay. Let's see what I can find here. I connected in with her whilst I was waiting for our friend Don to set things up, and she said that she'd been waiting for me to turn up. And she has this beautiful energy. You know, it's so consistent with how we all related to her in life. There is this beautiful, loving vitality about her energy. An innocence of sorts, but this compassion, this love, this guileless compassion, just a giving, loving energy. It's just a beautiful energy. I'm really, really enjoying it.
And hopefully some of our listeners are also enjoying her energy. Does she have a message for us?
Well, I hope so. Let's see what she's got to say.
I hope so, too.
It is a great pleasure to come forth in this manner. There are many who have sought to connect with me since I crossed over, because many felt I had a spiritual aspect, a role in the world, you might say, that was above and beyond my role as the wife of Prince Charles and the mother of his two sons. And this has been quite a widespread phenomenon which I am able to witness in the world. And whilst I was alive, it was not something I was particularly aware of. But once I crossed over, I was able to view my life and indeed understand a little better who and what I am from a different perspective. I have come to understand that I, in fact, have quite a close connection with many who listen to this radio show, because I am indeed an aspect of a cherubim angel. My monad is a cherubim. And such a notion was not something that I had any understanding of whilst I was alive. But I now understand it much more. And this is the essence of the love that I brought forth into the world that so many people felt. And it is one of the reasons I was such a champion for the downtrodden and a champion for seeing the ending of landmines. Of course, that venture died with me, you might say, but nevertheless, it is one of the reasons I was drawn to this, because on a level I understood that I was playing a role to contribute to the liberation of humanity. I came to understand how deeply distorted the picture of the royal family is, and I came to understand many of their dark secrets, not all of them, I hasten to say, because I understand a lot more from this side than I did from when I was alive. But nevertheless, I can see that I was born into that role, into that lifetime, with many strands to that role. There were some that have said that I was, in fact, born for the purpose of fulfilling that role as the wife of Charles, which there is some truth to, and also indeed that I was actually born to participate in the process by which I died, and there is also truth in this. But what these views do not understand so well is that I actually primarily came for the purpose of assisting with the time of transformation in which you find yourselves. And truly, this is of much more interest to me than all of the concern about the royal family per se and their dark secrets, or indeed the way that I died, though I will confirm that indeed, there were some very dark practices, dark rituals associated with my death. And anyone who has looked closely at this will begin to understand that certainly there was plenty of time for such things to be conducted between the time of the accident and the time of my arrival at the hospital. But I do not wish to focus on this, as I say, because I have come to understand that you all live, and indeed I lived, in this time of extraordinary transformation on the planet. And I was a public figure that could bring the energies of love, the energies of, as Richard described it, guileless love into the world. I was an innocent in a manner, which I understand better now than I did in my life. I was subject to some very difficult and hidden practices within the royal family when I was alive. And I was such an innocent wandering into those dark places. But I, for all of that, survived with my innocence intact, you might say. And it is this uncompromising love that I brought into the world and in a sense gave people a lightning rod to connect with. Those that felt a desire to see change were a little surprised to see someone in my role connected in with the royal family choosing a path of change, you might say, a path that sought to bring freedom to people. And rather than rest in the possibilities of, you might say, my relationship with Charles and even when our marriage ended, I did not rest in any of this, but rather was driven to seek to carry a message of liberation, carry a message of change within the world. And as I reflect upon my life and all its challenges and difficulties, I am very proud of the way that I was able to carry that message into the world. And it is why so many people feel that connection with me and what I stood for in life. And in a way, my life began some processes that are echoing forth in your time. I'm not saying that I, on some personal level, began so much of what is happening in your time. I'm not claiming that. What I am saying is that my life was about helping people have some hope in the dark times, and to get a sense that people could behave differently when they have power and when they have an opportunity to influence what occurs in the world. And this indeed was what I sought to do. And the energy that I brought lingers in the world. I can see that because so many people continue to have a great interest in what happened to me and why. But in particular, I want you to understand that a key aspect of my role, as I now understand it when I look back, was actually to create a fissure of sorts in that darkness within the royal family and indeed beyond it. I brought light into that dark place, and it is a light that, in a sense, can never be extinguished. It is a doorway that is gradually being prized open because more and more the truth of my death and the way it occurred and the reasons behind it are leaking out. Yes, of course, the royal family was involved with my death. It was no accident, of course. But they were not the only ones. There were many other dark, ritualistic, satanic threads involved with my death as they sought to harness the energies that I carried. But they made a grave error because they did not truly understand the power and the energies that I carried because of who and what I am. They thought, in a sense, that they could use me to begin a new dark path based on an ancient goddess who, amongst other names, carried the name of Diana. But they failed to understand the power that I represented, the energies that I carried as an incarnated cherubim. And so what they thought they were starting, they were not. In fact, they were, in a manner, sowing the seeds of their own destruction, though they did not understand it, and quite frankly, neither did I whilst I was alive. And so these threads, you might say, these seeds that were planted by my time in my role and indeed in my death, these seeds are bearing fruit, not in an instant, but they are growing. They are more than seedlings today. And these threads, the understandings of how I died and why, are gradually seeping out. There are those who carry knowledge of this, who have begun to speak out, some of whom have not survived those efforts to speak out, but there are many who have an understanding of what happened and why. And as the energies change upon the planet, this thread, this unfolding of my life, will act as a lightning rod to drive a wedge into this darkness that has so long existed upon your beautiful planet. And so this is my message to you, my dear ones, a message of hope indeed a message of joy, because I can witness the changes beginning to emerge in your world, not only from what I did, but indeed from what so many of my fellow cherubim are doing, and indeed others are doing, and the work of these two with whom I have connected for this radio show. All of these threads are at work in the world, in addition to the extraordinary energies that have of transformation that have come into the world in recent years. So be optimistic, my friends, be hopeful, be joyful, and above all, be loving, be innocent in your loving, be guileless in your loving, as I endeavored to be, because this, dear ones, is the truth of love. Bring this into your lives and into the lives of others, because this time is one of liberation and freedom as it unfolds in your world. And so it is.
Thank you both. And my friends who listen to this, understand that our radio show slips by so quickly. And if you have questions that you wish to ask of Princess Diana, please call as soon as possible, or else you'll be locked out. The show will be over. So we wait for those questions to come in. And as they are about to come forth, I would like to ask Princess Diana, was she planning on marrying Dodie?
It was my plan to marry Dodie. We were deeply in love. He is a man who has been discredited by the media since his passing, but he did not deserve that discrediting. He was a beautiful, generous, loving, artistic man who had an interest in filmmaking, as some know, and it is an interest that was growing. He was a man who had grown up in the experience of the love of his father, who loved him dearly. And we were indeed very close. And indeed, as some have speculated, I was carrying his child, and I fully intended to have that child. Of course, such a phenomenon was completely unacceptable to the royal family and contributed in its own way to my demise. But all of that is history, you might say.
Thank you for telling us that. It was a question that I had. Looking at this from the other side, do you think information will come forth that will show us who was responsible for this act?
It is my view that the understandings will emerge, as I indicated. There are very dark practices in your world, as you both well know. And these dark practices sit behind the veneer presented to the world through the media. And as you know, the truth of things behind the scenes is nothing like it is presented to the public. And so part of the unfolding of things will be the exposure of this darkness behind the scenes. And as I said, part of the reason for my life was actually to provide a trigger for that exposure. So yes, I fully expect that those who were involved with my death and those who were involved in the ritualistic practices undertaken after my death will all be exposed for who and what they are, what they believe in, and what they do in the world.
Now that you and Dodie are on the other side, do the two of you work together?
We have a great deal of contact. The bond that we developed in life has continued beyond it. We walk different paths, but we do have a great deal of contact. Our paths of work are different. So we don't work, you might say, very closely, but we do commune very deeply and lovingly on the other side.
Thank you. Roger from Nashville, Tennessee is on line one. Welcome, Roger. What is your question?
Richard and Carolyn and Princess Diana, using the new app, Richard, it's fantastic. So I hope you can hear me.
We can.
And Princess Diana, I had the biggest crush of you when you were walking along this earth. I just want you to know.
You and many others.
Oh, I know it. Anyway, the questions you've already asked, but one question I have is, you know, with all the energy coming through last year, you know, there's still talk on geographical changes that are happening in the world. For instance, you know, places like Florida that, you know, could be sort of, you know, become underwater. Indonesia, parts of Indonesia is going underwater. You've got, you know, Los Angeles, California. Do you see, you know, from where you sit, do you see things like this happening? Or do you think the world is going to, you know, stay as it is and just keep on going as the way we see it going?
Firstly, it is important that you understand that part of what is in your future is a process known as ascension, a shift in dimensional experience, you might say, for those of humanity who participate in this. And so, in a sense, there will be a different experience for those who pass through that dimensional doorway and those who remain upon the existing expression of the planet. Those who remain upon the planet will live out their lifetimes in a very difficult and continually decaying environment. It will break down in many ways. The forces that truly sustain the planet will be gradually withdrawn, and so the experience of life upon it will decay and become more and more difficult. And so part of that will be changes in land placements, parts of the land sinking and others rising, and many other things. There will be a great level of decay of the biosphere because of not just the obvious interference of humanity, but some of the covert activities such as the poisoning of the biosphere with what are known as chemtrails and other practices. So there will be a great deal of change. However, I encourage you not to focus so much on this, but rather the environment that you will be passing through to. There is a tendency for many who focus on the possible changes in the world to focus just as you have. And I would encourage you to look beyond this, and rather than focus on what might happen to the world as you know it, begin to visualize the world you wish to experience beyond this transformation which awaits you. So this perhaps is not quite the answer you were expecting, but I believe this will serve you more powerfully. And I encourage you to move your focus beyond these details of what may or may not happen in this current biosphere. The impact of human activity upon it is so great. People, for example, do not understand the impact that Fukushima will have on this biosphere. It is little short of horrendous. And whilst tools are emerging to clean up this biosphere, ultimately it will not survive. This is the future for this dimensional expression of planet Earth.
Thank you both. I appreciate the explanation of that. And you did bring up a thought about Fukushima. And atomic energy in general. Do you see humanity deciding to move away from using atomic energy?
There is no requirement or place for atomic energy in the form that it is currently applied, such as the fission process with uranium and related elements. These processes are not required for energy generation, and certainly the world that you will be moving to will not tolerate the use of nuclear weapons. So this application of what you might consider nuclear processes will not be required. Of course, there are ways of bringing forth unlimited amounts of energy for the purposes of supporting human activity from the background energy field, and some of those tools are beginning to emerge in the awareness of humanity. And so not only will the application of nuclear sources be swept away, but indeed this whole archaic practice of the use of fossil fuels for transport, for heating, for electricity, for all of the purposes it's applied, will simply disappear.
Thank you for your information. That would be a wonderful thing if all of that would disappear and new resources come in to give humanity the energies that it requires in a peaceful manner. So apparently you see that coming forth also. We have another caller. Carolyn from New Jersey is on line 3. Welcome, Carolyn. What is your question?
Good evening, Carolyn and Richard and Princess Diana. It's an honor. Thank you for taking my call. Princess Diana, I would like to discuss the charity work that you so eloquently spread across the world, that love, that passion, and compassion you had for everybody. I would like to know if you feel like you hadn't completed that part of your journey, and if you would love to have somebody still continue that. Is there like an area that you'd want someone to continue that? Because I also love to do charity work and to help humanity, and being a light worker, that's what we all love. So I thank you.
Rick from Tennessee is on line 1.
Just before you go on, Carolyn, I haven't answered Carolyn's question yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got
I thought Carolyn's wasn't a question, but a statement. Okay.
No, it's a question.
Let me see what Diana says. My work was incomplete because it is impossible to complete such work in the world as it exists. Those forces that wish to disenfranchise most of humanity are very powerful and are continuing on their paths. And so truly the work that I was able to do was very minor in comparison with the driving forces that are, as I say, disenfranchising humanity. And so I would not consider it complete, but what I would say is that I have come to understand that, in fact, my efforts were not so much about the completion of what I was doing, but rather creating an example, creating a profile, an energy in the world, an energy of change, an energy of hope, as I mentioned in my earlier message. And so in that sense, that aspect was completed because that legacy remains in your world. And I would also add that I encourage any kind of, you might say, effort to assist with the human challenges on so many levels. But really, it is such a futile exercise ultimately in this deeply flawed consciousness. It is only through a transformation in consciousness that awaits you in your near future that will liberate those suffering from this difficult sojourn of theirs. And so whilst I welcome your desire to continue this kind of work, really your best contribution can be on the energetic plane to bring your energies in support of seeing this transformation, which is in your near future, come forth.
Thank you.
Thank you both. We now have Rick from Tennessee is on line one. Welcome, Rick. What is your
Good
question?
Evening. It's my turn now.
Yes, dear.
Okay. I do live in West Tennessee, and there was some event, I guess this weekend, that brought two young men from the royal family over to Memphis, Tennessee. I believe it was for a wedding. Of course, it made the papers and the news and all. And I do not follow the royal family. I be honest, I don't know the children from the relatives. But I was curious who these two young men were and what brought them to West Tennessee. And is this unusual that the royal family will come to America to come to some type of an event? And I was just curious of who they were and why they're here.
So tell
Thank
me.
You.
What was the whose wedding was this?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I just heard through several sources that two men or two boys, I don't know how their ages, from the royal family were over here to go to
That's
an event in Memphis, Tennessee.
So you know it was the British royal family and not some other royal family, so called?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's what I had heard through several sources. And I was just curious what
I'll see what I can get. It's a difficult kind of area. Let me see.
Okay.
It is not well known that members of what you might call the royal family actually travel more widely than you might suspect. Some of their traveling activities are well publicized, such as the recent visit of my son to New Zealand and Australia, but others are not so well publicized. If you had monitored the history of things in recent years, you would find evidence that both of my sons spent quite a deal of time visiting America at various points, so this is not so unusual. And the two who visited your area are lesser members of the royal family, not so well known. They were not my sons who came, but indeed others connected to the family. So it created a level of interest, but it was not my sons.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you both. At the moment, we don't have any more questions coming in. I'd like to ask Princess Diane a question of my own, and that is, Dodie's father seems to be having such a difficult time in accepting what has happened. Will there be a time when he can heal from this, hopefully?
It is true that he has suffered greatly with Dodie's death. Dodie, in a sense, represented the future of his family, and in a way, all that his father had, you might say, dedicated his life to. And so this indeed has been very challenging for him. But in his own way, he is fulfilling a purpose, because it is in part his actions, his drive to find the truth, that is actually a key element in bringing forth the truth of what happened to me and to Dodi in Paris on that difficult night. And so this too, I have come to understand, was pre-agreed, you might say. It was part of the plan that he would act in a manner to seek to expose the truth behind these things. And he is working very hard to do this, to, in a way, exonerate his son, to, you might say, clear his name, but also to bring forth the truth about what happened to me, because not only did he love his son, he also loved me very deeply. We became very close. And so I have, as I say, come to understand that his suffering and difficulty, and indeed his focus on bringing forth the truth, was indeed a commitment that he made before coming into this lifetime. And so, in a sense, his suffering and difficulty fills a purpose. And that purpose is to assist in exposing the true nature of the royal family, along with other threads that are driving this process, and indeed the deep darkness that permeates all so-called royalty in the world today and others who work alongside them in these dark times. And he is a man who, in his own way, is deeply spiritual, and he will participate in the changes coming forth. And as he does so, he will come to understand all that I am saying to you, and he will, in time, find peace.
That's wonderful. Louise from Las Vegas is on line one. Welcome, Louise. What is your question, dear? You're
Hi,
welcome.
Carolyn, Richard, and Princess Diana. It's a pleasure to be on. My question has to do with Diana's sons and her new grandson and Kate. And if part of their journey is to also help dispel some of the darkness of the royal family, if Kate came in to kind of carry on some of Diana's role, or, you know, that is part of the role of her sons as well, and if they're cherubim.
Kate does represent a beautiful, fresh face in the family, but she does not carry a mission of the same level as I did. Unfortunately, my sons have both been initiated into the dark aspects of the royal family, and without things changing in the world, they would more and more become part of that dark, deep experience. You may want to look at photographs of Charles when he was young and to see the visage that he had as a young man, and to now look at how he appears and what he represents in his demeanor. And you can see how this lifetime of dark practice has deeply changed his expression in the world. And so, for the moment, my sons are not too deeply marked by these practices, and in a way they have little choice but participate in all of this. And so my hope for them is not so much through what they are choosing, but rather what these changes in the world will represent as a possibility for them to choose. I am not exactly clear what choices they will make. Their souls, who of course participate in the choice that is made, have actually in both cases left it open to these individuals to make a conscious choice. And so this is actually true of quite a few people who have had some level of involvement with the dark practices, particularly those who are younger. And so I am optimistic and hopeful because they were my sons as well. And so I endeavored to teach them about love and about the beautiful things of life. And I believe they carry these threads also.
Thank you both. Jackie from Missouri is on line 4. Welcome, Jackie. What is your question?
Well, first of all, that was an amazing conversation about your sons, and hopefully we will all hold the space for them to bring forth the light. My question is, Princess Diana, can you share with us your experience of working with the energies of Mother Teresa?
Mother Teresa was also a beautiful soul. I do not need to tell you this. She was a very powerful woman, very committed to assisting those who suffered, those who were deprived in the area of the world she focused upon. And it was a great pleasure to work with her. It required great drive, great power, and indeed great wisdom in the workings of power in the world for her to actually achieve what she achieved. She was able to get resources from places that few others would have been able to glean them. And so she was no naive, but indeed one who became very wise in the workings of the world. She recognized what she was up against. And despite this, she remained very dedicated in her own way. And the love that she brought forth was, in fact, quite different from what I expressed. There was a more, you might say, directly powerful expression of love within her that was palpable. She did not carry this, you might say, guileless, very feminine love that I did, but a more powerful, you might say, gut-driven sense of love, if I could use those words. But an extraordinary being to have the experience to work with, and I felt very privileged to be able to connect with her and be able to commune with her and share in the work that she was doing.
Thank you both. Well, I appreciate that. Helen from California is on line 5. Welcome, Helen. What is your question?
My question is about timing. Is there anything that Princess Diana can disclose to us that, for example, this year marks her 14th year of crossing over, and is any time sense she can disclose to us that the dark would be fully exposed, and the truth will come out?
Richard, did you get enough for a question from Diane?
Yes. It is difficult for many reasons to be exact with this, but what I would say is that I expect significant change to begin to emerge in your world in this calendar year. There has been so much preparation. There has been so much preparation put in place that it is my view that you will see great change in your world through this year. I am not saying the processes will be complete this year, because it will take a little time for all of the processes to unfold in your world. But in terms of the evidence of the change, and in terms of the emergence and the experience of Carolyn and Richard and the cherubim, then I fully expect that to be all in place this year. The remainder will take a little time. In ways, not all of the darkness of the world will be cleared through these processes, but rather much of it will actually be left behind on the planet. So this is perhaps a more accurate way to view this. There will be this separation, you might say, between those who will participate in this shift and those who will not. And I believe this has been explained to you in the past. And so you who are participating in this shift will begin to experience yourselves more and more to be in this world but not of it. And so there will be this growing gap between those who are moving forward and those who have on some level chosen not to. And those who have chosen not to, as I said, will live out their lives in this difficult consciousness that will become more and more difficult for them.
Thank you both. We appreciate your questions. And Diana coming forth and giving the answers, and Richard, you being the go-between, bringing them forth. As usual, you've done such an excellent job, and we thank you. And I thank you for our audience for all the work that you do.
Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome, dear. And we especially thank Princess Diane for coming forth and giving us her insight on events in the world. We've now come to the point where it's almost time for us to leave you. Doesn't that hour go by fast, Richard?
It does. It flies.
Yes. And while we have a few minutes left, is there something that you would like to discuss with us that we're working on that is new and interesting and you feel drawn to talk about?
Well, I seem to have been talking about them a little recently, but The videos on the material that the Knights Templar gave us a couple of years ago, I'm just so excited to have finally got both the DVD and Blu-ray versions in the mail to people. I know some people have already received them and indeed have watched them from end to end. There's some 5.5 hours of material there, so it's not a 5-minute exercise. But I'm just very excited by the feedback that we're getting and also, frankly, to be able to share this extraordinary material with the world. And so, again, I will provide a link in the email on this, but the website for this is True Stories of the Templar Knights, and those words just have a link between them. A dash between them, but I'll put a link in the email for you for that material. So that's one thing in particular that continues to take my attention. And
before you go on, something that I wanted to mention is there's a lot of information in those discs about the Gothic cathedrals. So little is known and understood about the Gothic cathedrals, and since I have been to several of them myself and have some understanding of them, all I can say is you would, if you're interested in the cathedrals at all, you really would want to look at this Knights Templar to find out more about it. It just is amazing information, something that the world does not really understand.
Indeed, indeed. And something that will be of interest to Helen, I know, but we are getting active again with the Soul Origin and History work. I feel Carolyn is back to a place where she can begin to do justice to that work once more. It's been very difficult for her to do that work, but it is. We're getting to the place where that's very doable again for her. So that's very exciting. So getting that moving.
Yeah, it takes about a week to do one of those readings.
At best. And indeed, very often quite a lot more than that by the time the elapsed time is through. there's a lot of work involved. So that's exciting to begin to be able to bring that work forth again. So they're probably the major things, I think, Carolyn, that I would mention at the moment. We continue to do what is placed in front of us to keep things moving forward.
We have a lot of e-books available, Richard. Might you focus your attention on one of them?
Which one would you like? there really is quite amazing material that Carolyn has brought forth over time. An amazing ebook that she took from Archangel Michael, talking about the changes on the earth that are emerging, and a little of the history of the planet and how we got to this point, which again is something that's not well understood. There's also her extraordinary ebook that she took from Pope John Paul II as he was lying in state after his death and before his burial, where he came forth and connected with her each day and gave her a message. And after that period of time, the messages ended. So that material is quite interesting also.
It's actually very beautiful. That's one of my favorites, is what he gave. And where could people find that if they were interested?
Well, there is a page on the 2012countdown.com website which has your ebooks on it. And they could just go to that website and find that page. It's, I think, called Carolyn's Ebooks. And so you will find them all listed there, is the simplest way to find them.
Thank you. Well, we've got a couple more minutes, Richard. Is there anything else you might want to discuss before we close out for the night?
I think I'm pretty much done, Carolyn. Thank you.
What, turn you to the other side?
That's it. Yep. So I just want to thank you for your questions and providing the structure for this session with Diana tonight. It was wonderful to be able to connect with her in this way and to unsurprisingly find that the energy that I experience of her is so much like we experienced her in life. This really, like, as Elton John said, a candle in the wind, you know, she really was like a candle blazing in the world. So
well,
it was
a
joy.
What that opens up for us, Richard, is if there are people out there who would like for us to bring a special individual forth that they want to know more about, send us an email asking for that individual. We try and accommodate people when we get, you know, several who want the same individual to come.
Indeed we do. So, yes, just send me an email and we'll plug it into the list that we have.
What's your email address, Richard?
Well, just simply reply to the email that you'll receive from me if you're on our list, or you can just send me an email to richard@richardpresser.com is the easiest way.
And let's suppose somebody's not on the list. How can they get on the list?
Well, they can just go to the 2012countdown.com website and put their name and email address into the top or bottom of any page on that website, and bingo.
That's marvelous. I can't think of anything else that we need to cover right now. We do have a couple minutes left, though.
Oh, well, we're just right up to the 21:58 by my reckoning, so I think we probably should wrap it up and keep Don happy.
Okay. This is for Don. Good night, everyone.
Good night,
everyone. We love you all.
Until next
week.